Greetings, listeners. Hope this podcast finds you well. At the time of this recording, it's a wonderful day weather-wise, so just in an overall good mood. And plus, we're recording this on a Friday, so a double good day for us here. And welcome to another edition of Show Me State of Mind, our little podcast dedicated to telling the stories of Missouri's mental health system and related stories for the past 15 years or so, covering that time period. Happy to have you with us, so welcome to an all-new Show Me State of Mind. All right, I am so excited about today's podcast because I'm joined by two of my favorite people. These two individuals are the only two folks at MBHC who have been here longer than me, and I've been here for over 12 years now. And for those of you that know MBHC, then you likely already know who these two guests are with us today. It's MBHC's very own Rochelle Glavin and Katie Horseman. Welcome, Rochelle and Katie.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, welcome to the pod. Welcome to the pod. All right, so let's get this started. And first, Rochelle, let's start with the history. Let's get right to it. So when were you hired and kind of what were you hired for originally?
So I have a kind of a fun anniversary date. My date is April Fool's Day, 2008. And this will be my 17th year coming up on. And I was hired as administrative specialist.
Administrative specialist. Yep. And April, the next day is your birthday.
And the next day is my birthday. Yeah. Yeah. So I started, actually, I was 22 technically when I started, and then I turned 23.
So right so. There, right out of basically college age.
I was a baby.
To speak. Yeah, just right out of right out of there. Administrative specialist. So yep. What were you brought on to like do? What did that mean?
So that support was on our DMHNet Nurse Liaison Initiative. Uh-huh. So kind of that first collaboration on integrated care concept between Department of Mental Health and Medicaid.
Uh-huh. Very good. And you came with all the experience of nursing and health degree, background, all of it. Nothing.
Nothing. Right. But I learned a whole lot. Working with those nurses was an incredible experience.
That's awesome. And then tell me, though, how many, like when you were hired, Tim Swinford hired you, were you the third person in the office at that time?
I was number four, and then we were down to three within a few months.
You came on as the fourth, mm-hmm. All of a sudden someone left, so you basically were a powerful team of three.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. And then Katie, so how about you? You've been here longer than me too.
Yeah, so I'm working towards my 14th year here at the council, and I started in June of 2011, and I was again right out of college. I had just graduated, but I had association background. So I had worked at the Missouri Retired Teachers Association, and I was hired as admin as well. And mine was a little bit unique because also I was tasked with going to the Capitol and taking notes on different things at the Capitol to bring back to our CEO then, Tim Swinford, and give him all of those notes. And a lot of that was over my head. So I took verbatim notes on all the things that were going on at the Capitol.
Unreal.
So
what's funny, people don't realize it now, is in the past, now we have the internet. You can stream the hearings. You can keep track on the floor debate. There are rules around transparency. So a lot of times you have to have an amendment sit for a while so you have time to review them and read them before the next day's budget gets brought up on the floor. Back in the day, so back when you were, we'd had none of that. So literally, Tim sent you over there to write down what was happening and report it back, whether it's a hearing or you'd sit in the gallery of the floor and listen and write down what they were talking about.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And we didn't have laptops or tablets.
We did not.
That's great.
Just a notebook written.
And you just write it all down. That's amazing. So then when you were hired, were you number four?
I was number four.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was at the Southwest Boulevard office, which is where I started as well. And I think, Rochelle, you looked it up, and we had an office before Southwest.
Yep.
And then we'll just do this right now. So it's just kind of funny. So we're sitting here at McCarty office. So we had an old office originally, then Southwest, then Metro, Then we had a bad accident at Metro.
So we went to Southridge.
Then we went to Southridge.
Temporarily.
On a temporary office. Back to Metro.
Mm-hmm.
Sold it.
And now we're here.
And now we're at McCarty.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then we're building a building we'll talk about later. That's mm-hmm. exciting. But mm-hmm. we'll... So we've been in a lot of... Oh, and we have some downtown office.
Oh, yeah, and the
downtown office. We had a downtown office, and then we moved to another downtown office, so... Yep. And that's helped us with the capital stuff, but we've been... Our butts have been in many seats yes. over the years, for sure, these past 12 to 15 years, yeah. So you started with four people. Katie, you were the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, I think for people that... I think they'll find this fascinating. So when I got there, I would see, like, occasionally either Paula or you or Rochelle would be staying late and cleaning and vacuuming and all that. And I kind of asked, like, I thought, well, whatever. If you guys love doing that, that's awesome. But you, there was kind of part of the deal of working there was cleaning the office. So how, like, tell me about that, because it was funny to me, and we'll talk about how that finally ended. But
yeah. Yeah, we rotated cleaning, and I would say I did learn something from the mm-hmm. cleaning. I mean, I now know that you can use newspaper mm-hmm. to clean windows. That's a big thing.
It doesn't streak, or yeah. the ink doesn't come off or anything like that.
Well,
you
the
soap
ink
and water,
come off
and
a
you
little
like
bit if you have
really scrub it down, okay. you wash it down, and then you get the newspaper, which we had tons of mm-hmm. at that office.
Because you didn't have online
yeah.
stuff, so we actually read newspapers. Yeah.
Kept up with the newspaper, and then you just take those and dry it, mm-hmm. and streak-free.
Streak-free with the newspaper. Learn that. But mm-hmm. you guys were paid like a whopping amount of money to do the cleaning. We had I do it for perspective. We had a different budget then mm-hmm. when we
yes.
started. I remember
yeah.
it was very small mm-hmm. and a very tight budget. So we would pay you what grand sum per month would you get to clean?
$100.
Okay.
$100 per month to do the cleaning, and you'd be there. If we didn't have trainings, would you do it like once a week or something? Or just the one big time a month?
We rotated it. I think it was like we had so many weeks, and then it rotated between myself, Rochelle, and Paula at the time.
This is
so,
great. Yeah. Okay. Well, I remember at one point, I don't know when it was, I can't recall. I was like, do you guys really like cleaning? The answer is not really. I'd rather not. So we did change that at some point. But I always think it's funny to talk about, because it really does describe a little bit about kind of what our attitude is around taking care of our stuff, because it was a different ball game back in the day.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The place was spotless.
It was spotless.
It was nice.
That's right. Oh, that's great. So what else do you remember about like those early days? It does seem like we have more resources now, obviously more staff, and we'll talk a little bit about the transformation of MBHC and the council over the years. But, mm-hmm. you know, back when we were four people, because I came on, we were five for a month or two, and then Tim left for Compass, mm-hmm. and we were back down to four.
Yep.
There were a lot of different things we had to mm-hmm. do back then.
Yep. I the one that stands out for me is, you know, when I was hired on, we did a lot of statewide training. So we started training on cyber access and, of course, you know, meeting with the nurses around the state. And so there was a lot of manual making mm-hmm. and getting binders and all of that. And our copier didn't do hole punches like these nice ones here do now. And we didn't even get the hole
the
punch
automatic.
Paper.
And no automatic it, even, maybe.
No.
Hole
so
puncher.
We had a hole puncher. I think it could hole punch like 10 pieces of paper at a time.
Yeah.
And I still have that hole puncher, and I will never get rid of it.
Yeah. Man, you went through a lot together.
Like, it's like a yellow color now. I think it used to be white, but... Yeah, so that was...
And when I say manuals, I mean, these were manuals. Not like a little... Mm-hmm. This is like an inch binder, inch mm-hmm. and a half binder, 2-inch binder mm-hmm. with like 10 sections or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a lot of stuff behind each section.
Yep.
They were big binders,
Print it and then line the hollow square mm-hmm. tables upstairs and with just stacks of paper. And just go through
Assembly
and
hole
punch it and make those binders.
Yeah.
The week I was hired was in June, so it was the June strategic retreat, and there was a manual making party, and we had our printers and they broke down, and we actually ended up having to go to Staples to get it all printed. It was a fiasco, and I was thinking to myself, what did I get myself into?
What are you doing here?
My first day, and it's just chaos. But I loved it.
It was great.
Yeah.
Kind of set the tone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, get ready. And so, like, I'm trying to think. But then at Southwest, were any of you there when we did, like, board meetings at Southwest?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. We did. They were 2 days.
Yep.
Were board meetings, and we'd go the day before or the morning of and get fruit, and
we would cut the fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had an oven there, so we'd like heat up pies or whatever was on.
Yeah.
Yep.
And 2 day board meetings upstairs, and that one, it was a pretty good sized conference room actually, but it was packed.
It was full.
Yeah. Chairs lined the whole outside of the room.
Because when I started, it's pretty much, I'd never remember having a board meeting there. I think we either decided right then it was too small, right around the same time we moved to hotels. And I don't know if we had a little bit of money or something that was coming in off a contract, but just decided to move it to hotels right after that, I think. Because I never remember a board meeting at the Southwest office, so it must have been a change right about the same time. Well, remind me then, you mentioned going to the Capitol, though, Katie, to monitor. But also you guys, it would be some sort of, like the Hill Day or Advocacy Day stuff, you guys would be the invitee passer-outers, or you'd do other stuff for that, right?
I think
at the Capitol?
I think I did it a couple of years, did the Missouri Hill Day and then the National Hill Day, maybe a year or two, and then you came and I was like, here's all the stuff.
Yes, I think I did it for about 2 years, and it was fun. I mean, we put folders together, did all of the appointments, and went to the Hill and did our advocacy work. But I think one of the most memorable ones was one year it was raining D.C., and nobody had any umbrellas. We had the blue folders that we had, and I think everybody was carrying them over their head, and the dye from the blue folders was going on to our
You were there at the famous blue dye rain one?
Yes, yeah.
I'll be darned.
It was Frank Compton
had
the
got a blue.
Frank had the good white hair, you know, grayish white hair, and it turned to colors, what I heard. was the story.
It was great.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, I think every one of them was memorable. Mm-hmm. There was something. So it was fun.
And that was like pre-term limit time. So it's just so different now where you have people that are always new in the legislature. And back then, it was easier to know your state rep or senator because they could be there 8, 10, 12, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And you had relationships. And now it's just such a different place. It's just a lot different than when we started our stuff back 12 to 15 years ago now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened? You lost something very important at Hill Day, too, didn't you, Rochelle, if I remember?
The first time I ever went over to the Capitol for anything, it was just to hand out breakfast flyers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot we did the breakfast over there.
Yeah, the big breakfast stuff.
So sent over there to go hand those out at every office. It was all good, fun, cool, and then walk back out. And my car's gone. I knew where I left it, and it was just gone. And I panicked. Like, what just happened? And so I called the police station to, like, report it stolen. No, I just parked in the wrong, in a bad spot, and it got towed.
I don't think they tow cars now. I mean, I swear they don't.
I don't know. I
maybe you parked in just the worst spot.
Like, yeah, they call a lot about that spot because it's not well marked. In my defense, I don't know what it was like now. But I was like, oh, well, great. So anyway.
Did we cover the tow cost on that?
I think so.
Okay,
think
good.
For the tow, and then I paid the parking.
I feel bad.
The ticket I got.
Yeah, so we covered the tow at least. Yeah. I appreciate that. That was nice. Yeah. Good.
It's like, okay, lesson learned. Yeah, we're really going to find better parking next time.
Yeah. So you guys, when we start, there's no annual conference. Because I remember when I started, that was one of my first big assignments. There was a decision made, we're going to be like other states, and we're going to have an annual conference. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of right when I was hired at the end of 2012. But we had those, like you said, the June retreats kind of would turn into kind of healthcare home or integrated care, there would be a pretty big topic.
Yep.
that we'd focus on and have a mini-ish conference with more than just CEOs coming.
Right. A little bit of training.
A little bit of training.
Disease management outreach we had going, so we just used that to get folks together.
And yeah.
We had the integrated care partnerships, so we did a little institute then too.
Yeah. So we had those kind of forming, but nothing like an actual conference. And so then our first one was in 2013, is that right?
Yep.
In the fall,
yep.
St. Charles.
St. Charles, Missouri.
And I bet we were really hoping to get, 300-400 people, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think we were hoping to get there. I think we had maybe around 300.
Around 300 people, yeah. Smaller conference, smaller venue.
At the time, though, it seemed huge.
Yeah.
I was super excited.
Especially when you're like putting badges together.
Yeah, we had no C-Vent.
Yeah.
That's right, no C-Vent. So we had those dang organizers.
Yes.
Where we had to stuff all those little things in the name badges and the blah, blah, blah.
And you had to remember your alphabet. And make sure you heard the last name.
Yes,
I don't know how many times I asked people, what
was their name again? Let me find it. And if you didn't have your name badge, we'd have to
write
another one out and all that stuff. Just a train wreck. And no swipes or things like that. I mean, just no ability to kind of credit card things, if I remember right. Just all by the seat of our pants, basically.
Yeah, and I think we had individual sign-ins for the different sessions and stuff for continuing education as well.
Yeah, which we weren't running then. Someone else was.
Yeah, in my major thing.
Yeah, there are a lot of great stories from Conference One. We'll get into it. Like, it's hard to get across on a podcast without some video and audio recording, but we had a great song during one of the keynotes. Called the Do John. That was just hysterical.
I tried looking back in emails for that.
The
words to it, and I can't find it.
I'm really sad.
We might have it somewhere, but Dr. Paul R., who wrote Made in Missouri, the story of our CMHCs, he was former director of DMH. As I remember it, typically a bunch of us are sitting around the registration. People are filling in for the dinner or lunch and the keynote, which was going to be Dr. R, kind of talking about his stuff, and he comes with this big pack of papers and says, would you guys pass these out? And I just remember being like, what is this? I have no idea what this is. And none of us did. He didn't tell anybody.
No.
No heads up.
And so just for the historical record, he had done to the song, what's the song, the famous old kind of pop song, whatever it's called. He did the Do John lyrics for John Kennedy signing the Community Mental Health Act of 1963. So he turned the song on with no lyrics and had everybody sing this song with his lyrics that he trademarked and made sure we knew it in case someone would take it, if I remember right. And it was just cringy. Because some people did it, but not everybody. And I think there were like three verses.
Yeah.
Like it didn't stop at one and a laugh. It was like a 3-4 verse song that never ended. And he went way over time, too, if I recall.
Did.
Like just went forever. And it was just, it was hilarious.
First time we learned, be prepared for anything.
Yes.
Be prepared for anything. It was a fun one. And then I think that there was one, too, that I remember. It may have been that one where I got a text that said, because I think I was up on stage after the introduction, and it said, fake a heart attack or something. Someone texted me, just pretty, let's fake a medical emergency and see if we can wrap this up. It was a lot of fun, though. You do learn and have a good time. And then you had a... If I remember right, we also had a special guest, didn't we, Katie?
We did, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, that conference was right after I had my first child, and I didn't want to miss the conference, so I brought her with me. My mom came with me, and they stayed up in the hotel room, and I was...
Little.
Yeah, she was just born, because it was in September, and I had her in August 22nd, so she was...
Weeks.
She was,
weeks old. Yeah.
And I was exhausted because she wasn't sleeping through the night at that point. So I was
And then you had three straight days of running. Yeah. That was the first conference. The other great memory I have of that was the second day. We had to make our conference smaller because we had it blocked next to a dog show. And so they had all the plastic on the on the floor in case the dog had an accident. And so you had to walk. You had to walk over plastic to get to a few of our sessions. And so you'd be like, "Well, this is weird," but also just I remember that was so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's just go. So we are four. We are small and mighty. We like to, you know, joke about it. But imagine four of us putting on a conference. Not easy to do that first one. Mm-hmm. And then we start though adding some people. So. The growth, you know, now as we sit here today, we're 30-plus staff. We started with four that 12 years ago. So there's been a lot of growth, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But if I remember right, I was trying to memory bank this, and you guys tell me if I'm right. But Tim had actually put in the budget a public policy position. So we filled it fairly soon after I got there, and that would be Misty. Mm-hmm. Snodgrass came on with that position. And then in the budget, we had two positions related to, I think, the Strengthening Mental Health Initiative, Governor Nixon's initiative. And they were really around the CMHL program, but now CBHL program. And there were two positions with that. So we brought on Christine and Kimberly. This is all kind of within about a year. Mm-hmm. And then Healthcare Home changed from Dorn retiring, and we brought on Kim Yeagle for that. And then that other part of the Strengthening Mental Health Initiative was an ERE program, Emergency Room Enhancement Program. And someone was running that, and the state asked us if we could kind of run that for them. And so we brought Cindy on, if I remember, for that. Yep. And so it just kind of kept snowballing from there a little bit. Then CIT, they wanted us to help with, and I'm trying to think what else happened. But I think then we had Paula was going to retire. Paula Stanley was there, and she was getting ready to retire, and so we had to bring someone on, and so Chelsea started to cover the front desk and learn from her, and then when Chelsea left, we had to hire a new front desk person, and Emily, I think, came on, and so you just kind of see how things progressed over the years, and before long, we were moved over to Metro because we were at Southwest and just completely ran out of space, if I remember right.
Yep. We did.
Yeah, we took that conference room downstairs and put up a wall. This was at Southwest, so we had two offices in there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then upstairs, there was only two offices, so Misty and I had those. And then we had to put Kim in the corner.
We put her just in the corner. That's right.
In the corner of the conference room.
Until, so if there were meetings, she'd have to move
into
someone's office or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that old office, I remember your office was next to mine. And and it's funny, we can talk about this because it's just kind of funny and no everyone would understand. You know, you were hired by Tim Swinford, who claims one of his strengths that he's really most proud about is hiring really good people. And so he's very proud of the work you guys do. But Tim and I are different boss, and he'd admit that too. So it was probably a change for you all to have this guy come in who knew nothing. And was kind of a moron about a lot of stuff, but also completely different from Tim. Mm-hmm. And so from a personality and other perspective. So I'm sure for you all, it's like, that's probably a little scary to know. You knew Tim and you knew Paula, you kind of had this rhythm about things. And then here comes this moron. And what do we think about this guy? But that probably was an interesting transition, I bet. I remember they asked me to come, after I was hired, they asked me to come to a social. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And I think they were going to try to, were they surprising Tim with maybe a parting gift? I think that's right. Or maybe it was a board chair gift or something, but they were doing some gifts and they invited me to come and introduce me and you all were there then, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'd met you before maybe a little bit, but not much really. Mm-hmm. And so just the awkwardness of, hi, new boss, just a really weird kind of deal. Yeah,
I think that was at the top of the Doubletree, the round hotel. Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I sat back with Mel and Tim and Tom Cranshaw and just was like, oh, gosh, this is a lot. But
I bet that was
good. Yeah, but it was good. And then I'll get on record the great story of starting. The other thing that's different is I was an early bird. So I think the office actually, but back then, was like 9 to 5, I think.
Yep.
And no one told me. So my first day, December 31st, I show up at 7:30 and the office is locked. I don't have a key, and I'm just sitting there and sitting there. And like at 10 till 8, I go to Schnucks there right up the street of Southwest and get my New Year's Eve party supplies purchased and get back about 8, a little after 8. I'm like, well, they'll be there by then. No one's there then. And like I'm just in the car for another 45 minutes. Finally, like 10 till 9, I think Paul or someone came, and I'm like, oh, okay, 9 to 5 office hours. I see now. That's great. And then the other funny one, it started snowing that day. Mm-hmm. And my truck, back then I had an old Toyota truck, bald tires, needed new radiator. It was just a pile of junk. And the tires were so bald it snowed, and the truck just slid down the, unbeknownst to me while I was working, just slid down the parking lot and was right next to the ditch by Southwest Boulevard. This is where I found my truck that time when I walked out. I'm like, oh, hell. What a start.
It's a great first day.
Yeah, yeah, what a great first day. Almost lost my truck. And so we learned a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so then we moved to Metro, and we kind of start this growth thing. And then, Rochelle, we kind of, both you and Katie, I'll start with you, Rochelle, like, you know, we grow. You've had all this experience with healthcare home and the our disease management program and all these things. And like I said, all this growth starts happening around staff working on various programs that we continue to kind of add mm-hmm. over the years. And you become kind of the clinical director and now executive vice president of those programs and a bunch of other areas. But kind of what was that like as... I remember it being very exciting, but also a lot of change. Yeah. I mean, a lot's happened in 12 years that I've since I've been here, but you've had a lot more responsibilities, a lot more management of people, all those things. So kind of experience with that. What do you recall?
I think, well, one of the things I think has been the hardest for me personally is just, you know, having to let go of some of those programs that I worked on for so long. And I remember for, you know, integrated care at the beginning too, just in those first 4 years when I started, it was, you know, nurse liaisons in 08, and then it was the disease management outreach program in 2010, and then it was, you know, prepping for the health home program, which launched in 2012. So a lot of growth during that time. And I think, you know, with for providers too, just that workforce growth in those areas. And of course, data reporting and those different platforms kept changing. And I think the culture shift was a big one. And I think even prior to what I didn't realize in the system before is a lot of programs would come and go. And yeah, so that's just what, you know, provider mm-hmm. staff kind of expected. Like, this will be around for a little bit and then it'll be gone.
Something else, yeah.
And so really getting down to the, you know, changing that culture of, you know, integrated care and outcomes and all of that and just evolving over time was really, really cool to see. But yeah, so I think now it's cool to see how far we've come since mm-hmm. the beginning, and that we, you know, we're able to stretch beyond just, you know, adult mental health too, to mm-hmm. Get more focused on being trauma-informed, on youth services, on SUD services, mm-hmm. and veterans, and now the aging population.
Yeah.
Like, it's great that we've been able to be able to expand and focus attention more in those different populations.
Yeah, I think, like, the culmination of the work you've done, like, if you think about it, like, where states are at and mm-hmm. having a first-in-the-nation healthcare home program, being one of the first 8 demonstration states for CCBHC, being a state that really did fidelity to not only the rate structure, but the team-based rates in ASAM. You know, you go down the list of things, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And really is pretty incredible. And you should definitely take a step and say, hit pause and be like, that's great. And that's pretty cool. And that's good for Missourians. And, you know,
absolutely.
You being a leader of part of that is, or of those things, is pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
And a cool opportunity for sure. You should be proud.
100%.
You should be proud.
It's great.
Yeah. And then Katie, mm-hmm. you have, so we do the small conference. I giggle mm-hmm. about this. So we do a little small, the 300 person conference. Mm-hmm. We're really cool. I mean, that's mm-hmm. year one. Pretty damn, I know other states, they don't get more than that now.
Right, right.
You know, that's where they're at. And even the primary care side, I love them too, but it's a different conference. Mm-hmm. You know, they have lower numbers. And now you have a conference that has 1,000 people coming. And then just a few other things you're doing.
Yeah.
So your team has grown significantly as well from the one person when we're like, let's let Katie do this one conference.
Right.
And then this training and then this summit and then work with the kids and get another summit. And now you're like running a team of a bunch, doing a bunch. So tell us about that. Like, that's been different. You've grown in responsibility and what we're doing. The scope's been an unbelievable growth in that area.
Yeah, it's been fun, and it's really great just to have the trust of our providers and our partners to be able to expand in our trainings and our conferences. Like, we started with one, and I think we have maybe 10 conferences that we host now on an annual basis. And like Brent said, we have a team of about 6 people on the training team that help with various different things and various different trainings and conferences. And I would say the same thing as Rochelle, that it is hard to kind of let go of some of those ones that you started out with and planning and learning collaboratives and various different things that we take on. But it's really also great to see other people flourish in them and take them on as their own and really even make them better than what I could have done. So it's really exciting. Yeah. And I can't wait to see where the next future takes us with all of our training and events. So
yeah, it is. That is the biggest challenge, I think, for the three of us, being a little bit the OGs, not the real OGs, Kathy Carter and Tim and Paula probably deserve that title. But of the group now, we're the three OGs. Mm-hmm. But to be that and have that, really, it was us. Mm-hmm. And now to have a team of 30, it's a different us. Mm-hmm. And the challenges of kind of how people do things different and how we've learned a lot.
Yeah,
that it's okay to be different and do things different and to have to let go a little bit, but also keep your finger on the pulse of things. And I know folks listening are probably in agencies of 1,000 or agencies of 500 or 5,000. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a different world. So, but from 4 to 30, I would argue, is just as challenging as it is to go into a larger organization. Just the little bit of the growing pains, but also, Katie, I think you hit on it, knowing what the mission is and who we serve, and the folks deserve great care and great facilities. And, you know, that's what we strive to do. And I think, you know, try to do it better than anybody else. So you two are real leaders in that. It's awesome. And I'm real proud of you for sure. So the other thing I just want to mention, we'll talk a little bit about our new building because we're kind of at this current temporary location. We'll talk about the Roy Blunt Center. But one of the things we also could be really proud about are a couple different things. One is, you know, Rochelle, you worked really hard with MPCA, who we have a good partnership with, on developing a really slick kind of CI capital improvement with the COVID ARPA funds and things like that. It was really important that we make sure for health-related projects that we were on that list, because others were going after those funds. There's no doubt about it. And we did get that. And really generational transformation in our agencies and what they've been able to kind of put out there capital improvement-wise. And I'm really proud of that piece of work, too. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Those are fun projects.
Yeah.
It was for sure.
Looked really slick. And like I put it on record, we did meet with the governor's office. I think it was about 2 years worth of advocacy on that to get it done and across the finish line.
Yeah.
But they said, your proposal was the slickest one we saw and the most organized and slick and looked good and polished versus any other group that came to us. Universities, health, big hospital groups, your proposal was the best. So that's pretty cool, right? And that's neat to be able to work on that. Mm-hmm. Now, before we kind of get to the Roy Blunt Center and what that means for us in the future, you mentioned data earlier. I'd be remiss not to kind of at least pause and think about our journey around data, because that's been a big part of what we've done. And when I first started, in fact, one of the big first vendor fights I remember was with an old group that we had doing data work. and they didn't really listen to Tim very well on what he wanted them to do. And I remember sitting in your office on the phone with that vendor and Tim being very upset about what they programmed out for our providers. And Tim always had a very provider doing the entry, the provider doing the work. Are we supporting them or making them do extra work, or does it not make sense? And if it doesn't, then we're not doing our jobs, you know. And I think you've kind of taken that approach. But describe that early data work. I guess that was kind of trying to get out of Excel and Access database, but trying to get into something to kind of where we are now and kind of what you see. I mean, that's a lot, but just take a minute or two and describe that.
Yeah, I know the Excel. The amount of Excel spreadsheets we had was unreal, but it was information we didn't have access to before. So, you know, the nurse liaisons, back when they started, you know, Medicaid claim files were just delivered in Excel, and I mean, it's just a lot. So the data training that we had back then was really how to sort and filter an Excel document to get down to something manageable and meaningful that they could act on. And then we, a few years after that, we thought we'd get really smart and introduce Access database and get that set up with all the agencies. And then that didn't work within about 6 months because it was just too much data. And that was pretty clunky too for data entry. So we went back to Excel spreadsheets for a while, particularly around the metabolic syndrome screening data. And then tried this online platform that I think really just ended up feeling like a black hole of information. A lot of work was put into getting that information in there, and then not a lot of return back for the nurses to be able to, you know, do population health and solve for some of those healthcare gaps. So then that's what kind of led us into really kind of a shopping list, I like to call it, because we had our list of needs for providers and then what, you know, the state needed to monitor those programs, and then went into Care Manager, and so we have that up and going. But really, you know, we've been really excited about this next level of the data warehouse and NBHC and providers being able to have access to data that's coming in from the EHRs as well as the Medicaid claims and the DMH feeds that we're getting in there to do some really cool things. And I think for, you know, top of that list is really how do we reduce the documentation burden for providers. And I'd love to see us get to a point where, you know, we're able to just report on CCBHC measures on behalf of providers. We don't have to do these Excel spreadsheets still, and report on CPS and TEDS reporting, so providers don't have to worry about it. It's just there for the state. And so I'm hoping to get to that point where we can just really providers can really start to feel and see that they don't have that burden anymore, and we're much more efficient with the data. And then, of course, for, you know, advocacy, getting rid of surveys that we send out to providers would be great. And we're using it, you know, for a lot of our QI initiatives. And then I'd love to see us get, you know, in the future to a point where we can do some really cool research stuff in this population. So
it's really got the potential, doesn't it, to not only inform care, like from a direct interaction right there at the point of the patient interaction, and being able to kind of guide that care, or direct that care in the first place, perhaps, but also, you know, through some of the AI and predicted analytics and some of those things. But
being more data-driven,
you know, kind of having that direct influence, but then also, like you said, on the back end, really inform how we're doing, outcomes, all that reporting, like you said. I mean, it just could be so powerful. So we're getting there. I think, you know, it's going to be awesome, but you know, in a year or two or whatever, we'll be sitting there looking back.
We're going to be
really doing some amazing things. And like you said, I think the value to the provider will be evident, and we'll get that buy-in for sure. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah,
really cool. So then we mentioned before the Roy Blunt Center. And so many moons ago, we had this little idea of, you know, we're blessed in Missouri to have some joint FQHC, CCBHCs in the state that keep us kind of connected. And we try to keep alignment. Healthcare Home, a great example of that. We had the CMHC FQHC partnership grants, and then built upon that. Health Home was built as a joint partnership mm-hmm. there. So we've always had a good relationship, generally speaking, and even at the local level, not saying it's perfect everywhere or perfect with us and mm-hmm. MPCA, but it's a good partnership. And had this little idea, didn't we? Like, we're running out of space at Metro.
Yep.
And we really needed to think about that. And I think primary care was too. We had a little incident with that little COVID thing that changed our workflows a little bit as well, but mm-hmm. we thought a training space as well as office space for our team, because we were just kind of bursting at the seams a little bit. So talking to Senator Blunt, and before he left and retired, got this new Roy Blunt Center that we're really excited about, that hopefully will be done by January of 26. And we're really looking forward to moving in there. So mm-hmm. not only clinically, it's got some great ideas around integration, right? But
yep.
Katie, like, you excited about the training space?
I am excited. I think it's going to be a great space to host some of our smaller conferences and then a lot of our training and events, and just the abilities that we'll have to utilize that space is...
Like an auditorium,
yes.
right? And then
mm-hmm.
breakouts, but then 100, 200 people-ish mm-hmm. could fit in some of those spaces, if I recall, and that'll be... Like you said, a lot of things could go into there.
Yeah.
Like, and be run right there.
Mm-hmm. Which will be awesome.
And then clinically, having the Primary Care Association there to talk to versus mm-hmm. being, let me schedule a meeting versus, hey, can I run down? I have
yeah.
an idea. It might be pretty cool. Because as we've learned, a lot of that is point in time conversation leads to something else, and just mm-hmm. having the ability to kind of make those connections and talk, I think, keeps
yeah.
us connected, because it's going to be, I think, the next, you know, several years, we're going to be taking a lot of looking at healthcare costs and how we can keep those in control. And I believe our services are really important in that kind of environment. So
yeah, absolutely.
It'll be an exciting opportunity to hopefully find some cool efficiencies and ways we can make care better.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this building will represent that.
Yeah. I think one thing that I will miss at this new building, though, from the Metro building, was all of our DIY projects.
Oh,
my gosh.
I feel like maybe that won't be something that will happen at this new space.
I don't think they'll let us.
Yeah.
We're going to have to find another hobby or
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all of those DIY projects
yeah.
that we did there were.
Yeah, we built our own offices. We put a wall in once or twice.
We did flooring.
We did floors.
We did flooring in the kitchen because it kind
of
flooded downstairs. A lot of hanging of whiteboards and,
mm-hmm.
and TV monitors ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like every other Friday we
yes.
had some sort of project
oh, yeah,
we were
sure.
doing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. There's so many stories we could tell, and some we shouldn't tell. I always love the one that... made me giggle so much about Paula was, you know, like we said, Tim was different than I have a little different sense of humor. And I knew I kind of wanted to make that point a little bit because, you know, just different. And I think at the June retreat, I think it was, I kind of, or may have been at the holiday social, I can't remember, of the next year. I said, I just wanted to show that staff's been kind of struggling with the new leadership style I have. And this, you know, Tim had a pretty formal structure of things, and I said, here's a picture of our current staff meetings that we have on Fridays. And we had, Paula had in the back a whole box of alcohol,
mm-hmm.
I think from a social, like we'd go buy it
mm-hmm.
ourselves
Forget.
And have it in a hotel room or something, and if people wanted to drink, I guess we'd do that. Don't do that now, but back then I guess we did, and there's this whole box of alcohol. And so I went and grabbed it, and we had all those fake pictures of us having drinks at our staff meeting, if I remember. And I put it up on the screen, and I was like, I may get in trouble for this. I don't know exactly the reaction. But we had a great laugh. I think it was all taken well, and people understood, this will be a different ride with this cat. But we had a lot of other fun stories over mm-hmm. the years, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Just hard to... We could go on and on, I'm sure.
There's
been some good ones.
mm-hmm.
A lot of great laughs, but I did make a note here if I think about it. So if I work till Social Security retirement age, not trying to get exact here to give you how old I am. But if I make it that long, and God willing, and the board, you know, still likes me, we'd work together, the three of us, for 20 plus years.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Wouldn't that be? That's kind of wild, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It flies too.
Yes, it feels like we weren't babies back then, but I guess you two were pretty close.
Pretty
close to babies, because when I started, you were just having faith, and Rochelle, you were just still in baby mode and all that. So it's just kind of really amazing, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All these. Yeah. Well, we'll stop there, and people can always ask us about some of the top 3 to 5 stories that we couldn't put on the podcast. But anyway, it's been an absolute joy, guys, spending time together today, and really look forward to the next decade of next decade of working together. And I did write down here, I wanted to say, you know, really, my work life and personal life has been immeasurably blessed by working with each of you, and I'm really honored and so proud of what you've done here and what you've done for Missourians over the years, and you should be really proud of that work. So thanks for what you do, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining Show Me State of Mind, and again, thank you for joining us as well, listeners. And until next time, this is Brent signing off today.